This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Arvind Raj
and Andre Raj.
Okay, we are talking about how a company takes its staff on a month-long international retreat. It helps with productivity and all that kind of stuff. We've asked you guys to feedback and give us some suggestions. Do we have any?
Yeah. So there's this one point here. This person brought up about how routine, does it build or does it hamper creativity? So on one hand, studies have shown that daily routine lightens the cognitive load of making decisions, which can free up room for creativity. On the other hand, too much routine can lock us into rigid ways of thinking, preventing us from finding the novelty that often sparks new ways of thinking. So does it...
It's 50-50 then.
Is it? Mm.
It's all right. You know, what's wrong with me? I can't talk. Right. So... If you have a routine, there's a potential that it could be good for you. But if you don't have a routine, there's also the potential that it could be good for you. So it's 50-50.
I like
to have a little bit of routine in my life. You know, for like we've had this discussion before, what I do in the morning and the order in which I do things, I think is important for my general well-being throughout the day. But after that, I'm like, you know, I don't care what I do, you know, to a degree.
Mm. So it's just like balance, like moderation.
You've got to have balance.
I'm sure some wise guys said something about moderation and balance.
I've just said it right now.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I guess with this Swedish startup, you know, they do like 11 months of routine and then one month of
craziness.
Yeah.
Within, you know, focused groups, things.
Yeah, in Italy and Barcelona and in Lisbon.
Portugal. Yeah. And anyway, let's get back to this story. I've got a happy story to wrap up with today. Kind of, I think. Swedish furniture retailer IKEA?
I say IKEA.
IKEA?
IKEA.
Huh? Audrey?
IKEA.
In England,
I'm just saying that now because you said
right,
that.
IKEA, right?
Wait, so, when I say like I'm going to get IKEA, yeah, IKEA hot dogs.
Right. So everybody in England calls it IKEA. Always has done. So when I first came here and people said, we're going to IKEA. Where? IKEA. Where? So they've completed the replanting of 3 million rainforest trees in a place called, I'm going to pronounce this, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it wrong, guys, so I do apologize. Luasong. In East Coast Sabah, as part of their efforts to rehabilitate the degraded forest. This has been happening since 1998. Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences lecturer Jan Falk, who has been involved since the beginning of the project with state-owned Yayasan Sabah, described it as successful as it involved a focus on rehabilitation with an eye to putting back the diversity of the rainforest. Quote, it is a unique rainforest rehabilitation project. Today we are seeing the wildlife returning to the once burned down forest, he told reporters after joining IKEA of Sweden Global Wood Supply and Forestry Management, Ulf Johansson, in a meeting with the chief minister. They also said a lot of research was done by scientists from Sweden, the University of Malaysia, Sabah, UMS, and from Australia. As the forest recovers, we believe there will be more opportunity for further research, and we believe more universities would be interested to come. He said, adding that research here complements studies on the untouched rainforest at the Malayau Basin. It's a gift from IKEA all over the world. They have shops selling furniture. It's only here in Sabah that they're doing rehabilitation. There is no revenue back, he said, adding that the project involved hiring 150 people working around the clock for the past 20 years. Right. Mm-hmm. So sitting on Arvin's side of the fence and using his skepticism for a little while, part of me was IKEA's planting this forest as part of a sustainable kind of tree farm for later. That's what my initial thought. Apparently that's not the case. They've just gone, boom, there it is. We're looking after this and hopefully this will invite wildlife back, and it seems to be working.
IKEA has been planting trees for years.
Right.
Like for decades, you know. They look at trees as green machines, and you know, they create clean air. And I think back in 2012, some experts said that by 2020, IKEA would generate more wood than they use to manufacture their products, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so this is, they've been doing this for the longest time, and if you think that there's like some, you know,
agenda
behind it, I don't think so. I just think that this is something that they've committed to for years, and they're just going to continue to do it because they value clean air and, you know, doing good.
Mm. Here's one thing I've noticed about IKEA, and they opened here like what, 20 years ago. They outlet here. So ever since then, I've seen that they always incorporate something green into their designs. If you notice, they have a whole plant section, like indoor plant section. There's always some nature driven design with their the way they work, even when they deco their houses.
Yeah.
And then, like 10 or 15 years later, you notice like other people pick up on their designs and then they call it eco-friendly.
Right.
But every time I saw like an eco-friendly design in like other houses or other furniture, I would go like, that looks like IKEA.
Mm. Have you also noticed there's only one type of bulb available in IKEA as well? You can't buy normal incandescent bulbs. You can only buy
LED.
The LED and long life bulbs. I mean, that's an actual business decision to do that.
Yeah. And even that was the bulbs were available there way before everyone jumped on the you know, the LED bandwagon.
Right, right.
That was the only place I think that I could find LED bulbs like, what, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the only place that I can, that I found that actually recycles batteries too. And you can bring like every kind of recycled products that you have, and then you can just put it all into like separate folders in basins, right? Yeah. In IKEA itself. And I think that is just, that's the way we should be recycling too. Yeah. But
and their bags. They were also one of the first ones to jump on the no plastic bags. Like I don't remember having an IKEA plastic bag. Mm. Like it's always been those blue ones. Yeah.
Which you always find underneath your sink or somewhere else. There's always one knocking
around
somewhere.
After you've come home from IKEA, you will find that bag that you could have used while you were at IKEA.
But you will have to buy one at IKEA.
Smart thinking, these guys. Because you never kind of plan to go to IKEA.
No, you just kind of go past.
You go, let's just go in and buy some candles.
It's the smell of the candles.
It is always
all the furniture.
Right. See, happy little story. See, we're all smiling at the end of that.
Yeah,
Time for us to wrap up. Ladies and gents, we have come to the end of the show, of course. We'll go through the stories that we covered today. And if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can listen back to it later on via the podcast, which is available through the app on Spotify now, or you can even go to the website and have a listen there. So we started off with
the story about this company that takes its staff on a month-long international retreat every single year because it boosts creativity and helps its bottom line.
And then we spoke about we asked if AT&T can predict the future again. We'll have to wait 25 years to see.
Yes, and that is in the year?
2043.
Good
job, it's fast, you know? Yes. It's AI, it just learns.
Machine learning there. Then, of course, that story about how Airbnb wants to design houses, and this could be happening as soon as 2019.
And then wrapping up with IKEA completes the replanting of 3 million rainforest trees over in Sabah. Thank you very much all for tuning in. Of course, that's all the time we have for today. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is a Breakfast Grill replay. The International Compliance Association is a global not-for-profit professional membership and awarding body that supports compliance professionals by independently awarding certifications and qualifications in anti-money laundering, governance, risk and compliance, and financial crime prevention. The Breakfast Grill spoke with its regional director, Andrew Glover, on issues and its role in preventing financial crimes and money laundering activities, as well as Malaysia's efforts in stamping out corruption. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Audrey Raj, this, of course, has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.